You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I do. Welcome on a Monday. You know, a lot of days, I'm not going to lie to you, a lot of days I am up like really early. Today, I walked in here like 3 minutes ago. Got in the shower 19 minutes ago. Yeah, then I get out of the shower, and F-18 guy's calling me. I'm like, why is he calling me at 6:56 Pacific time? So, you know, you got to answer it. I miss the call, I call him back. Talk to him. Get off the phone, run in here, yell at Colleen to make sure her ass is out of bed. And so, what are we going to do on the show today? No idea. Absolutely no idea. And you know what that means? It's going to be awesome. I don't know why that is, but whenever I have no idea what's going on, it's actually a lie. I do know what's going on. So anyway, good Monday morning to you. I spent the weekend writing, the book. And I have to tell you, it wasn't the most pleasant experience. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. And the reason it wasn't experience, pleasant was, you know, in the first chapter of Post-Traumatic Winning, I feel like I have to lay out, this is how I got here, right? This is how I got to, learn these things. And so I have to lay out growing up, right, the happy part of my life, and then growing up, the not happy part of my life. But it was interesting in that, for the first time, I kind of had this epiphany. When I'm a teenager, probably at the age of 16, 17, so I'm a sophomore, junior in high school, the wheels start to come off of my family, right? Both my sisters, my two older sisters, of the three of them, one 6 years younger than me, so she was a little bit too young. She was running around doing her thing. But the oldest one, wild child, Peggy, who you've heard, she was getting ready to do her thing. My mom and dad got her a phone in her bedroom, her own number. That thing rang all night. your basic nightmare. It rang all friggin' night. I don't even use the word friggin'. I don't even know why I said that. Anyway, yeah, so that was just getting going. And then my younger sister, who's passed away, she had troubles. She was a little slicker, though, than my older sister. My younger sister she's a little bit more devious, a little bit more on the down low. So, but, you know, as a sibling, you kind of know what's going on. You're watching. Your parents don't know. But you do. And you're just like, oh, man. So, I got to relive that as I kind of tried to, like, how do I write this? How do I write this? And then at the same time, you know, the next element in the cocktail is my parents, they're slowly but surely drifting apart. My dad becomes a coach in Major League Baseball, and our lives change incredibly. We move. So anyway, so I was doing that. So that was interesting. That was interesting. But you know, honestly, during the writing of it, I had a bit of an epiphany, and I would see that these train wrecks that would happen later in life begin here. This is where they begin to be kind of acted out. Not that it provided me any comfort, but yeah, I had like a little epiphany. Then, I don't know, I woke up today about, like I have been recently, 3:45, and so I read a little bit, and then I fell back to sleep. When I fell back to sleep, I had a full-on nightmare. Yeah, full-blown wake-me-up nightmare. And it's classic, I don't know what I would call it. I'd call it PTSD, but I didn't really want to say that. But the dream is we're living in North Dakota, and my family is, and I come home from doing something, and we're supposed to move to Colorado, but as I'm walking the house, I notice ants, and like swarms of ants, and I follow them, and they come in the house, and they come through a great room, which you have in the Midwest. That's where you kind of change your clothes and hang jackets and things like that. So they come through the great room and down a hallway into the, and they're just swarms, spools of ants, right? And I'm like, ah, and I'm looking for the raid, right? The bug spray. And I can't find it. And in my head, we don't have any money to move. But we're moving, and I don't know how I'm going to do that. So that's like the financial kicker that causes a lot of people to snap. So I'm in the dream. I'm looking for the bug spray, and I'm exploding, and I'm furious, and I can't stop it. Right? My daughter comes in. And she's got her suitcase packed to go to Colorado. Colorado? I've never been. I've been through Colorado. I was in Denver once for a few days. Like, where the hell did that come from? But anyway, yeah, so exciting morning already for me. So then F-18 man, I call him back. And he goes, hey, remember that advice you gave me about my daughter? I said, yeah. He said, that was awesome advice, by the way. I said, thank you. It's about time people start recognizing my brilliance. And he starts laughing. He said, I've shared that with a few people, and they like, holy smokes. I said, well, I'm at a different point in my life. I've done that a few times. And he said, you should talk about it on the show. I said, okay, I will. I'll talk about that. I also want to talk about a couple of things I've read over the weekend in international publications about the whole thing that's going on in Turkey. I just thought they were interesting because I thought, what game are we playing, right? And so I'll talk about that after I talk about F-18, man. got to talk about the Red Sox. Red Sox, big win yesterday. And to be honest with you, it did not look good for them before the game. Yeah, they have a guy who had never won in the postseason, still hasn't. he didn't pitch that great, honestly, but the Red Sox prevailed. Big, huge win for them because Houston's the best team in baseball. Anyway, so the thing about what's going on in Turkey is this. The most journalists, the nation that has the most journalists that are currently missing is Turkey. Yeah. So, again, it's not like there's some kind of paragon of journalistic virtue, okay? So I want to talk about that, too. Interesting article in the German publication Die Welt, which is pretty famous German media organization and has been for a long time. There was another one that I saw that was interesting. So we'll talk about that. And then Alex Hollings will join us this morning, as he does every other Monday. So we'll talk to Alex about what he's been doing. And, prepare for somebody who talks fast. So that's what we're doing this morning. Now, the question is, should I kind of start the program now and then go to those things? How about I do that? How about I do something totally different? We'll start the program right now. Good morning. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. It's the 15th day of October in Espanol in the year 2018. So, good morning to you. And this is dedicated to everybody who has bad dreams out there, all right? I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I love Jack Riley, man. That little thing he says, Mac, he's a good dude. Privileged to have had him on this program, too, by the way. Currently clouds in 62 in Quantico. Cloudy, partly cloudy in 79 at Camp Lejeune. Raining and 41 degrees in Granbury, Texas. Snowing in 38, a mix of snow and rain in Montana. 29 Palms, sun in 48 degrees. Camp Pendleton, partly cloudy and 55 degrees. Okinawa is dark cloudy and 74. In Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 73 in the Helmand Province. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, 69 degrees under fair skies, and it's windy. Winds gusting up to 45 miles an hour today. A red flag warning, not even sure what that is. A marine weather statement, not sure what that is. And a small craft advisory. So, all those. How about that? Today, looking for a high of 81. Tomorrow, 79. And Wednesday, 78. All with lots of wind. Normally, that's indicative of Santa Ana weather. We'll see. Which means the winds come out of the east and it gets really hot. So, all right. Let me take care of a couple points. Or one point. So, F-18 guy calls me and says, you should talk about the advice you gave me. I said, okay. So, he calls me, I don't know, a week, 10 days ago. And he goes, hey, man, I got a question for you. I said, what's that? And he says, and he tells me his daughter, his oldest daughter, and the oldest daughter is, for her first car, she wants a motorcycle, okay? She's that girl. All right, and she's that girl. So she wants to go someplace with some friends, and he says, you know, I'm gonna sit her down and I'm gonna talk to her about this. I'm gonna tell her that I might. And I said, so I listened to him, and I said, why are you going to do that? And he said, well, I want her to know the consequence. I said, do you think she doesn't know the consequences? Silence. I said, hey, here's my suggestion. Tell her to go have a good time. Tell her to love her. Tell her that you love her and go have a good time. You know she's going to screw it up. It's like leadership in the Marine Corps, right? You look at some people and you're like, you know they're going to screw it up. But you got to give them the rope to wrap around their throat. But if you browbeat them, and you're not going to help them solve it. So what you're doing is you're choreographing at some point the ambush that you're going to do on them. And the way you've led them, you know them, right? You've seen them grow up, whether it be as a leader or as a kid in your home. And so you don't need to deliver those ultimatums and kind of make it more abrasive, you know, because you're already butting heads a little bit. So you know they're going to come. You're going to get another chance. And so I told him. I said, so that's what I do. He goes, dude, that's smart. I said, well, I'm older. I've raised 3 kids in the process of raising the 4th. You know, it's not like you don't get multiple shots at them. And honestly, you don't think they're listening, but they do. But, you know, some of life they got experience on their own. And that's, I think, the most terrifying part of parenting is is allowing them to experience it. But you can't protect them from it. And the only way they do learn is they do learn by experiencing it. And then hopefully... Let me tell you what's terrifying is when they have the experience, but they don't get it, right? So you let them go. You say, hey, we love you. Have a great time. And then they blow it up, right? And things go wrong, and they come back, and then they argue with you about what went wrong. And when they don't get it at that point, to me, that's a signal that you're going to have. Because the things that are playing in front of them, they can't see and they can't look at you and say, yeah, you were right. You were right. And again, I talk about writing the book, my book over the weekend, and I didn't choreograph this, but that's what went on in my house. In particular with my older sister, things were, red flags, yellow flags were flying up, and she was just not seeing it. I don't see that. I don't see what's wrong with them. And it was an issue of character of the people that she was hanging out with. They were not good people. And that was kind of a predictor of what would happen in the future. Because, so anyway, he thought I should share that advice with you, so I'm sharing it. So if you're raising kids, look, you've raised them for how many years by the time they get to be, you know, 16, 17 years old, and you got to let them go taste it. And at that point, they're not little kids anymore. And to me, you have to change parenting styles. And you got to be, you know, the days of you sitting in the corner and yelling at them and then saying, okay, okay, okay. Those days are gone. Now they're mostly formed human beings at that age, and they want to crack at it. Like, I've seen all that stuff going on, watched on social media. Time for me to go. Why are you holding me back? Why are you treating me like nobody else's parents? I haven't done anything wrong. And I think it's the most challenging part of parenting. Is let them go experience it, and then, you know, saying your prayers that they come home to you at night, that something stupid doesn't happen to them. But you know what? It's not like, and we all know it, it's not like you can prevent it. If they're gonna find that stuff, they're gonna find it stuff. So to me, the smart thing to do is tell them you love them, and hey, you know what we expect? We love you. Have a good time. And when you come home, you got to give your mom or I a kiss. If you smell like mouthwash or you smell like liquor, there's going to be consequences. But you don't even need to say that. They should know that. They should know the rules. But again, what you're really setting up is the longer game. You're choreographing the ambush that at some point will certainly happen, because they at some point they will step in it. And at that point, then you react appropriately. And sometimes it's, again, it's not the screaming and yelling. It's, hey, we need to go have breakfast. So get up, hop in the shower, let's go. And it's different. I think it's different parenting. And I think it's always most difficult for the first one of yours, because you're going down that road yourself as a parent for the first time. And so anyway, so I share a little bit of parenting with you. Here's an email. Pissed off Monday. Bought a big green egg on Saturday, the medium-sized one, at a fireplace shop in Columbus, Ohio. Put the big-ass box in the passenger seat of my 2008 Honda Civic. Drove the 40 miles home with the passenger seat belt warning beeping every half mile. I assembled it yesterday in the anticipation of ribeyes for dinner. The effing shitbirds neglected to give me the kit that included the hardware for the lid and the steel grill. Ribeyes had to go into the broiler. The boy, his girlfriend, and I put them away. And I put them away while watching the Black 47 movie. The boy, the girlfriend, and I put them away. The ribeyes, that is, while watching the Black 47 movie. I don't know what that movie is. Next paragraph. I'm getting very concerned over Trump's comments regarding General Mattis. I don't know what is driving the divide. In addition to the leadership he is providing the military, I'm very much looking forward to the audit that he is doing on Pentagon spending. Don't let the swamp win. Drain that bitch. I agree. You know, but I will say this. Well, I won't say that. I would tend to think, and my own opinion is that this stuff started when Mattis didn't jump through the hoop during the transgender thing. So he did not blindly pick up that and implement it. He executed a study and then made policy recommendations to the DOD based on to the president based on the study, which the president adopted. And in my opinion, they were the right things to do. So if the president, when he hired Jim Mattis, when he hired John Kelly, when he hired Joe Dunford, thought that he was getting bobbleheads, he's sorely mistaken. And he says he loves being around general officers because they're successful guys, they're disciplined guys. And I think he sees himself like that. But some generals are bobbleheads. The ones he picked are not. So, I'd be curious. So, and suppose from the article I read, and I don't know how much to make of it I should make, it talked about he calls Joe Mattis his Democrat. Kind of interesting, because when the president was running for president, there was a move afoot by Republicans to draft, at the time, retired General Mattis to run for president. And I know that because I spoke to him. And I wanted to come on All Marine Radio. And he says, hey, Mac, I'm not doing any media. He said, I'd love to come on the program. He said, but I'm just going to lay low until after the convention. And I don't need this stuff. I said, all right, sir. He said, but after the convention, give me a call. I said, I'd be happy to come on. And in fact, I want to say he was with Bing West when I spoke to him, the writer. So kind of interesting that he's being labeled as the Democrat. So again, does that push him towards the Jeff Sessions specter? And what is Sessions guilty of? Similar offenses? And those offenses would be what? That he steers the Justice Department as he think is fit and not the way the President of the United States sees fit? Maybe. So, but again, I think Secretary Mattis might be the most credible person in the administration. If you watch the things that they get written when he, if you watch the things that get written about him as he goes to different places, I mean, there's nothing but respect handed to Secretary Mattis. And, you know, and I like his blunt style. So, anyway, we shall see what happens there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. Some interesting stories about the thing that's happening in Turkey over the weekend. So I'll share those with you. And, again, it starts with what nation has the most missing journalists in it, evidently, right? In the story that comes out of Germany, it says Turkey does. So now all of a sudden Turkey's concerned with journalists? Interesting. All right. More of Almarine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network on this Monday. So don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on Almarine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on Almarine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
All right, Alex Hollings at the top of the hour, shortly after the top of the hour. Let me read to you a story based on an interview, because I can't read the German version. How do I translate a German version of an article? Shouldn't it have translate this? Haven't we got that far yet? Translate this page. Yes. Nice. Yeah, in addition to Google being involved with my DNA at this point, because they're so into my shit, and they even, like, translate stuff for me. So thanks, Google. Watch now, my phone will go off. headline. Now, Die Welt is it's a long-time German publication. I don't know, Time Magazine, a little bit. It's right of center, blah, 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 blah. Headline from Saturday or Sunday. Khashoggi affair brings Trump into dangerous dilemma. Now, the question we asked last week was, what's going on here? When nations that don't care about journalists all of a sudden, like, start screaming about journalism and journalists, some game's getting played here. All right? So here's the article. As the U.S. preacher returns home, Turkey is calling for Washington's support in the crisis surrounding the Saudi Arabian journalist. Donald Trump stands between his most important and difficult allies. In his very own way, Donald Trump is a master of dialects. When he met the press in the Oval Office on Saturday, together with preacher Andrew Brunson, who had just been released from Turkish house arrest, Trump insisted there had been no deal with Turkey over the release of the American, and above all, there was no connection with the case of Saudi Arabian journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who disappeared in Istanbul. Quote, "This timing is pure coincidence," Trump affirmed, adding almost imploringly, "Really?" With this emphasis, the U.S. president showed how obvious the relationship between the two affairs is. This is also the view of Khashoggi's Turkish fiancée, Hatice Sens. Because when a judge in Izmir on Friday ordered the release of the American preacher, and Trump announced on Twitter how hard he had worked for this solution, Sens had tweeted back at him, quote, "And what about Khashoggi, Jamal Khashoggi?" Hashtag, hashtag. The Khashoggi affair has forced Washington into a dilemma between its most important and most difficult allies in the Middle East. And if Donald Trump has a political strategy for that part of the world, then one of his core elements is now threatened. That's the way the president is doing. He could increase the tensions in the region permanently. On the other hand, there are Turks, one NATO partner, and, like the U.S., important supporters of Syrian rebel groups. They complain to the rest of the world that apparently inside their borders, an innocent man has been murdered by another state, by agents of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, whose citizen, Khashoggi, had recently criticized the leadership of his country more and more sharply. Such a member would not only be a diplomatic affront, but also an implicit attack on Turkey's international security. Such a murder would be not only a diplomatic affront, but also an implicit attack on Turkey's internal security. According to the New York Times, diplomats from Ankara, however you say that, urged the U.S. government to mediate between their country and Saudi Arabia, to exert pressure on Riyadh to reveal its role in Khashoggi's disappearance and enable a solution. Saudis and Turks are anything but friends. Both countries see themselves as Islamic leaders. The government of Recep Erdogan supports the International Islamic Organization known as the Muslim Brotherhood, which the Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman fights wherever he can. The Turks cultivate good relations with the main enemies of Saudi, Iran. The Turkish President Erdogan obviously shies away from an open conflict with the Saudis because his economy is already facing collapse and he wants to avoid a withdrawal of Saudi Arabian investment. The Saudis, on the other hand, have been Washington's most powerful ally in the Arab world for decades. Above all, the oil industries of both countries are closely intertwined. And in the foreign policy of Trump, the Saudis have a very special meaning. Trump's first trip to the region took him to Riyadh. The confrontation course between the young crown prince, bin Salman, and Iran fits in perfectly with one of Trump's important foreign policy projects, the dismantling of the nuclear deal with Tehran and the suppression of Iranian influence in the region. And yet another concern Trump lives from Saudi support. Doesn't make sense in the translation. Like virtually all of his predecessors, he wants to be the president to solve the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Blah, 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 blah. So Trump is on a balancing act. In the broadcast on 60 Minutes, Trump, when speaking of Khashoggi, said, "We will get to the bottom of the matter, and there will be harsh punishments." But when asked for concrete measure, Trump weighed in, "No U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia would be up for grabs. After all, these are products of American manufacturers." Quote, "I think we would actually punish ourselves," Trump says. All right, so from that comes this. German press reveals Saudi spook saga behind Khashoggi disappearance. Germany's leading right-of-center daily, Die Welt, this morning revealed Jamal Khashoggi was not a journalist, but a high-level operative of the Saudi intelligence service, an intimate of Osama bin Laden, and the nephew of the shadiest of all Arabs arms dealers, the infamous Adnan Khashoggi. John Bradley reported last week in The Spectator that Khashoggi, who allegedly met a grisly end in a Saudi consulate in Istanbul, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamist organization that, among other things, wants to replace the Saudi monarchy with a modern Islamic totalitarian state. So much for the whining in the establishment media about freedom of the press and protection of the rights of journalists. The presumed dead Khashoggi was a top-level spook who swore fealty to some of the Arab world's nastiest elements and who played a high-stakes game in Saudi spookdom. We don't know why he disappeared, but we know what we don't know. Among other things, we know that Khashoggi was bitterly opposed to the new Saudi government and its rapprochement with the State of Israel. As a Muslim Brotherhood member, he backed Palestinian intransigence. Die Welt interviewed the German-Egyptian political scientist Asim El Defrau. Defrau? Co-founder of Berlin think tank Candid Foundation, who met Khashoggi for the first time during the American occupation of Iraq. Here's a translation of the rub of the interview. So, interview. Right? He goes on to say this in the interview, in the, not the, the interview conducted, but in the commentary on the interview. The American media either ignores or distorts the relevant facts. The Muslim Brotherhood is a democratic movement, according to the Wall Street Journal's write-up on Jamal Khashoggi. One of the country's best-known journalists, he clashed with the clerical establishments for his socially liberal views. His sympathy for democratic movements drew the ire of the Saudi government, particularly for the Muslim Brotherhood, which the royal family views as a threat to its absolute monarch. On the contrary, as my friend Frank Gaffney has shown from the Center for Security Policy, the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization and has been since its founding. It is also a threat to American security. Of course, Khashoggi was beloved of establishment types who believed in the Islamist route to democracy. David Ignatius of the Washington Post covers the intelligence community, and a big section of the intelligence establishment remains enamored with the notion of Islamist democracy, which it's hard for me even to believe. So, what to make of all of this? There's a final admonition of beware of media sourcing for this story. All right, and I'll just read you a couple of blurbs for it. All right. There are still more questions than answers surrounding the disappearance of sometimes Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi after visiting the Saudi consulate in Istanbul last week. And the whole affair has become a tug-of-war between Middle East interests and an ongoing conflict between Saudi Arabia and other powers in the region, including Turkey and Qatar. In the absence of verifiable facts, the American media are floating all kinds of leaks from Turkish sources. As I noted last month, American media continues to gravitate towards the Ergodin regime, even as Turkey remains the largest jailer of journalists in the world, creating several layers of irony in the Khashoggi saga. But in the past 24 hours, we now have a glimpse of exactly who is feeding the establishment media reporting on the Khashoggi matter, including at least one source who was tied to a joint Libyan intelligence and al-Qaeda plot to assassinate the Saudi crown prince. Earlier today, Yahoo News published an article quoting an associate close to Khashoggi. The source conveniently said that President Trump's criticism of the media is directly tied to the alleged decision by the Saudi crown prince to have Khashoggi murdered. The source of the article and the allegation is Khalid Safuri, a close friend. Anyway, so you can see where this goes. And again, I told you my experience in the Middle East was this. If you're seeing it, if they're showing it to you a certain way, it's because they want you to see it that way. Does it, in fact, have any relationship to the truth? That's a good question. That's a good question. It may or may not. So, again, again, this is based on my experience. I wouldn't say a whole lot. I don't know if the Turkish intelligence service is providing the audio of what they say is Khashoggi being beaten. Is it far-fetched to think that they could have beaten him and killed him and tried to set up the Saudis? Is that far-fetched? I don't know. Interesting. And the Saudis wouldn't sweep their embassy for listening devices? They wouldn't somehow have any way to mitigate against somebody eavesdropping on them in their own consulate? So, anyway. Film at 11. It's just an interesting story that continues, obviously, to take headlines. And to me, the problem is, you know, Khashoggi is a Saudi. He wrote columns for the Washington Post. Okay? He's not an American citizen. But because he wrote columns for the Washington Post, you would think that he's a member of the cabinet, for God's sake. He's not. And if you look into his past, his affiliation with the Muslim Brotherhood, yeah, that's not the most democratic of organization. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. If not, you might want to check it out. So, anyway, a few news headlines. Marine Corps Times, and there's not one new headline on the page. Biggest story that, and it's interesting that there would be nothing in Marine Corps Times about Secretary Mattis and the president's comments about him. And even in the early bird this morning, you would think that story would be someplace in the top five. It's not. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, Mattis pushes closer ties to Vietnam amid tensions with China. This is from the Associated Press. By making a rare second trip to Vietnam this year, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis signals how intensely the Trump administration is trying to counter China military assertiveness. Yeah, the countries in the region, you don't have to coach them. They don't want to live in a world dominated by the Chinese. They've dealt with it for decades, centuries. Number two, Pastor Freed in U.S.-Turkey row that snarled the F-35 program. A Turkish-American diplomatic dispute that entangled the F-35 fighter aircraft program appears at least one step closer to resolution with Turkey's release of American pastor Andrew Brunson on Friday. Here's a question for you, though. Do we want to turn the F-35 over to the Turks? Given their coziness with the Russians? Do you not think that when we turn it over to them that it's not going to be in the hands of the Russians shortly thereafter? Yeah, I don't know. That to me is not a good idea. USA or China as a world leader, Asians overwhelmingly prefer the United States, according to a study. This probably shocks a lot of Americans. What? This is in the South China Morning Post. United States or China as a world leader, Asians overwhelmingly prefer the U.S. in a Pew study. Poll shows that Beijing's record on human rights affects opinions about Chinese leadership, with Asians in Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Indonesia, Australia having a dimmer view of the country. When asked if it would prefer the world to have U.S. or China as the leading global power, 73% of Asian respondents represented by polls taken in Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Australia favor the United States. versus 12% for China. Hello. What else do you say to that? Story number four, reported L3-Harris merger would create seventh largest defense firm in the world. A reported merger between L3 and Harris would create the seventh largest defense company in the world, one which would become a prohibitive favorite for military communications contracts coming from the Pentagon. So, a little business story there. And number five, Trump weighs Saudi Arabia's fate in Khashoggi affair. This is from a publication called Al Monitor, The Pulse of the Middle East. President Donald Trump said today he's still determining how the White House will respond to the disappearance of a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, from the Saudi consulate in Istanbul last week after Congress asked the administration to look into potential sanctions against Riyadh. We're looking for the answer, and I think probably you'll have the answer sooner than people think. But Trump placed a caveat on his answer, suggesting he wasn't willing to let Khashoggi's disappearance get in the way of a $110 billion U.S. arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Again, this took place in Turkey, and to the best of our knowledge, Khashoggi is not a United States citizen, Trump said, acknowledging the exiled journalist's permanent resident status. Experts told Al Monitor that under U.S. laws, the federal government cannot prosecute the overseas murder of a green card holder such as Khashoggi. The Washington Post revealed Wednesday that U.S. intelligence intercepts found that the Saudis, on the order of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, sought to lure Khashoggi from his Virginia residence and detain him. Once close to the royal family, Khashoggi sought political asylum in the United States and had become increasingly critical of Prince Mohammed. See, you know, again, it's just kind of interesting. When you look at the international articles that have been written about this, right, they include his ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. When you see the American articles written about him, you know, right, it's almost like he's going to be held up as one of the Sons of Liberty. Right? Paul Revere, Khashoggi. So, anyway, I guess we'll find out the truth at some point. Or maybe we won't. All right, that's a quick look at the news today. And again, just odd that in an early bird, there's no mention of the president's comments about Secretary Mattis. Couple of things you ought to know about. Taliban confirms meeting with U.S. delegation in Doha. It's from the Long Wars Journal. In a statement released today, the Taliban confirmed that its representatives met with a team of American negotiators in Doha on October 12th. Interesting. So that's going on. Again, one of the things about this whole Khashoggi thing that happens is if you're Pentagon's former top intelligence official, there has to be consequences. How do they know what happened? And are you trusting that the Turks, it's like trusting that the Pakistanis are going to tell you the truth. Not my experience that it happens. So, I'm not saying that the Saudis didn't do it. I'm just saying, if you think the Turks aren't playing games here for their own benefit, then you're kidding yourself. So figure it out before you jump. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up. Actually, Alex Holling's coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Readboard page at allmarineradio.com.